Hello, and welcome to the Development Debrief with Catherine Van Sickle, the stories-based podcast that interviews donors, thought leaders, and professionals in the field of fundraising. This is a two-part episode, but the two parts are really quite linked. The first is looking back at the past 6 months, and the second is looking forward and creating visions of an ideal future. Part one is a six-month update on my time in New Haven and at Yale. If you're new to the Development Debrief, I made a move and got a new job back in May and recorded an episode then of talking about my nerves and excitement around making this change, around moving from New York City and settling into New Haven. Part two is a five-step process at creating a vision board. This is a tradition of mine that I've done over the last several years, on and off, and this is my year three in a row of doing it, and I found that it's something that I really enjoy and am excited to hopefully inspire you to do as well. As I think about the last 6 months, there are three major themes. First is professionally. In the role, I've learned so much in hiring for open positions and spent a lot of time getting to know existing donors in our community. I've been to New York a lot. I've been to Boston. I'm going to be heading to the West Coast for the second time later this month. And so that's been really worthwhile. And I've probably spent just as much time having coffees and lunches with internal colleagues. I am so lucky to be able to work with virtually every team at Yale, and I learn a little bit from each group, but it keeps things interesting and ever-changing. Everyone does things a little bit differently, and Yale is no exception with that. So I definitely underestimated just understanding process and framework when it comes to having a new job. Next, geographically, I have really enjoyed Connecticut, specifically New Haven. I live downtown and I really enjoy being able to walk to work and still have a little bit of that urban feel, albeit way less than Manhattan and the Upper West Side. But I've found to truly enjoy the excitement of the food scene and live music. Yale Repertory Theater is very accessible and easy to enjoy, so that's been wonderful. I've also been amazed by the shoreline. I didn't know too much about it until I moved here, and a lot of my coworkers live on the shoreline in different towns there, like Madison and Guilford and Brantford, and it's definitely a special gem, more so in the summer than now, but it's right on the water, and there are lots of hiking trails and cute little shops that make it feel very homey. I think the ease of getting around and having a car has been a special treat for me since I didn't have a car for 8 years. Transit has just been so much easier, visiting friends and family, and so I appreciate that. And then lastly, the cost of living has really been notable. I'm feeling way less tempted on things like clothes and experiences and expensive restaurants. And so I think it's been really nice to settle into that shift and change with cost of living. Lastly, on the personal front, I have been making friends both from work and outside of work. It's so nice when you connect with someone on a professional level and then realize that you have things in common and agree to spend more time together, and I've definitely had that. I've also met friends in my building, and I've gotten into Orange Theory, and I've met some cool people there. It's a workout that does exist in the city, but I had just never done it, and I've just found it to be a great stress reliever for me, whether I'm doing it in the morning before work or in the evenings. It's been great. And then I think I saved the best for last, but I'm thrilled to be in a relationship that's bringing me a lot of joy and happiness. So overall, the last 6 months have been really more than I could have ever hoped for, and so I just wanted to let you all know that. All of the things that I just mentioned were in the abstract represented on the vision board that I made for 2023, which got me even more excited about making one for 2024 and sharing the process with you. So I'm going to walk us through a five-step process, starting with the value of a vision board. You might be thinking, what is a vision board? How do I do it? I'm totally overwhelmed by the idea of doing a craft. Who knows where you're coming to this from? Maybe you love crafting, but have just never done something like this. But the value of a vision board is that it's something that you don't just think within the structure or logic of reality. It allows you to dream. You don't have to be bound by likelihoods or realism. You can think big, broad, and bold. When you do it over the years, like I have, it's fun to see how they evolve and change as you do. But really, the idea is to push yourself into what kind of life do you want to have? What is your ideal framework? Whether it's personal, professional, it's not setting a goal, it's creating a vision. There's definitely a difference. We'll move on to step two, which is the supplies needed to create the board. So, yes, it is technically a craft, but it's a simple one. And the things that you need, you can likely get at Michael's or really any local drugstore or craft store. So, here's what I recommend. First and foremost, a board. You can use a poster board that you would get for a school project or a foam core board. There's a lot of different options depending on where you go. You're going to want to buy a couple of magazines, and those can be magazines that you have around the house. But I also recommend buying a couple new ones that are on theme with the kind of thing that you want on your vision board. So, for example, if you know that you want to travel more this year, you might want to get a travel and leisure magazine. Or if you know that you want to make a professional change, you might want to consider picking up Business Week. If you know, like me, that you want to bring more mindfulness into your life, you can buy a yoga magazine. But I also recommend using newspapers. Some people enjoy using personal pictures or paint to add finishing touches. You'll, of course, want scissors since you'll be taking things out of magazines and papers and things. I recommend Mod Podge as the securing instrument for this because you can paint it on very thin and it makes it so that there isn't bubbling when you actually attach the graphics to the board. And then last but not least, stickers. I really enjoy doing this as a finishing touch at the end to create borders or emphasize certain things, to create balance on the board, whatever it may be. So stickers are fun either. Sparkly letters where you can write something out, or again, kind of like the magazines, maybe you can find stickers that are on theme with your kind of general goal or general sense of what you want to call into your life. There's so many options at Michael's, so that's definitely my top recommendation. Step number three is assembling. There is absolutely no right way to do this, but I'll explain to you how I do it. Typically, I've done this at home when I'm on my own during quiet time. I like to open up the magazines and rip pages out with pictures that resonate with me. Again, not what is likely or realistic, but something that I like, something that I'm drawn to. I'll play calming music, maybe light a candle, and I will start to let the graphics add up. Then I'll cut them out and start assembling them on the board. And I like to think of this as almost like a puzzle where you're trying to decide what do you want on the left side, right, top, bottom, what makes sense with the balance? Are you thinking about the actual photo and where it should go? Or are you just looking aesthetically what looks the best? And that's totally up to you. I take a picture of how I've assembled it and then I take them off and start gluing them on one by one with the Mod Podge. But what I really like is when there's a layering effect so that maybe some pieces are on top of others. It's important that there is no white from the board, that everything is completely covered. So once I've glued it onto the board, I leave it and go and do something else, take a walk, something else that will distract me. And then I return to the board in, any amount of time. It could be 20 minutes, it could be an hour, and do the final step, which is the details, whatever stickers you might have to put on the top. Maybe you're going to add a piece of ribbon. I did that once where I had a zigzagged ribbon that was leading down to a key. There are so many different creative things you can do with that final touch. Once your board is made, it can be very rewarding to do a reflection. And I've just started kind of figuring this out this year now that I've done it for a couple of times. And I've realized that some of the things that you put on might be really obvious, but there might be other graphics or images that you don't even necessarily realize relate to different parts of your life. And so, thinking through that, maybe sharing it with someone close to you or a colleague and talking through why you put each thing on there. And then thinking about what are specific things you can do to actually make these things possible. Maybe not within the 12 months, but what can bring you closer to your visions? Last but not least, I think it's important to put this somewhere that you will see it every day. I like to put mine in my bedroom so that I see it when I fall asleep and wake up, but you can also put it in your office, somewhere that you will be able to regularly reference it. The reason that's important is because when you're having a hard day, turning to the vision board and seeing what you had hoped for yourself will help you make decisions and lift yourself up. When something good happens, looking to it and seeing how those things are aligning with your vision is very exciting, affirming, and motivating. So you have that to reference throughout the year as you go through all of the different stages of a 12-month cycle. Once you're done with your board, this is a piece of art and inspiration. It's not meant to be completed in its entirety, and it's certainly not a performance appraisal, but it's a mindset and a guide for you. My 2024 board is focused on continuing to put down roots where I am. Last year, it was a growth year, and this year, it's cultivation. Over the next couple of months, I have a lot of personal and professional opportunities I'm excited about, like presenting at Case District 2, some exciting work travel, and some fun personal travel with friends and family. This is the last episode of season 12. Thank you for being on this journey with me so far, whether this is your first, 20th, or 100th episode, I am so grateful that you listen. I'm very excited about season 13 because of the themes and ideas it is built around. I can't wait for you to hear it. And if you do decide to make a vision board, I hope you'll let me know and let me know how you enjoyed the process because it's definitely something worthwhile. In the meantime, have a great day and good luck.
Hey listeners, it's Keith from Evertrue. Evertrue unlocks the potential of your entire donor pyramid. But how? Why, by giving fundraising teams the tools they need to personalize outreach at scale. Wow. And to inspire fundraising teams along the way, we offer Evertrue Studios, Advancement's very first media hub. Evertrue Studios is like Netflix, but for Advancement. And we publish new podcast and video content every week. It's all free and all created with fundraisers in mind. Subscribe for weekly content from the Development Debrief podcast and other Advancement thought leaders at evertrue.com/studios.